Thank you, David. We were away last week speaking at a church that they've asked me to give apostolic oversight over, and it's a great church in Alora Road, and yeah, we're there last week with about 600-700 people in their two services, so it was just a great time, and was thinking about you during that time as well. Well, this is a special Sunday, and it's going to be special over the next 3 weeks. Well, every Sunday's special, but this is the way it's going to be special. We're talking about investing to change lives. Investing to change lives. We're going to talk about it for the next 3 weeks. We're going to today talk about the past. Next week, we'll talk about how there's been investments to change lives in the present. And then we're going to talk about investing to change lives in the future. And so we're investors. We are. We're sowers. We're to sow. And whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to give you an opportunity to invest in the future at the end of the service. But we're going to today be a little different. If you're visiting with us for the first time, this is a little different. But it actually is a good time for you to visit because you will get a good feel about the history of the church, how we started, how we got to where we are, and especially next week we'll talk about this building. But we started in that little building over there, so we're going to show you our history, and we're going to see how lives have been changed over the years as people have invested. The scripture says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're excited about that. I'm going to tell you about the good things God has done. I was thinking about how David was, and in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1, the ninth psalm in verse 1, it says this: I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I tell you, the Lord has done some wonderful things in the life of this church, and so we're going to tell you some of them today. The other verse is Psalm 40 and verse 5, and it says, many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. We've already discovered that in the first service, because if you came early, you saw our service ran long in the first service, and that's because we were telling the wonderful things God had done, and there just wasn't time to tell everything. So we are excited. We're excited for the expansion that's happening just out as you're coming Sunday after Sunday and see the expansion and what we're planning to do here in the building going forward. And as we do, it's always a daunting task. It's daunting in that we never seem to have the resources in hand to do what God wants us to do. And that is by design. In fact, the Bible even tells us that we should be like little birds that keep their mouths open, and the mother comes and he just keeps dropping it in as you need it. And I feel that's how the Lord has been over the years. He's never just given us this big reserve. Even the manna, they couldn't collect any more than one day, because the next day they had to go up and collect more manna. And if they tried to collect more, it just spoiled overnight, the scripture said. So God's got this way of just giving us what we need as we go forward. And of course it requires faith, because you keep thinking, oh, we don't have enough. But then you remember God met us last time. Well, then God will meet us again. And that's how I feel as I'm sharing this. I have to encourage myself, because I must admit, sometimes I get up and I see what we're accomplishing. I go, man, how are we going to do that? How are we going to accomplish this? And then I remember, well, I felt the same way 40 years ago and 30 years ago and 20 years ago. And God came through and we saw marvelous things and we saw lives changed. Because that's what it's all about, seeing lives changed. So let me start tell you how we first started the church. We were invited by a family to come up here. It was the Tolman family. They lived here. They wanted us to come and start a church. So Kay and I came and visited on a weekend. We went home. We prayed about it. I still remember when we came to that final decision, I was sitting on a chair, and Kay was sitting on the arm beside me on the chair, and we were praying and asking God, and we came to the conclusion that God wanted us to come and start a church in Kitchener-Waterloo. And it was a step of faith. We were young. You're going to see how young we were in a moment. We were young when we started, and that was 42 years ago that we came. And so we were looking, well, where are we going to meet? So we thought, wow, there's a different place. Tried to look around, where are we going to meet? And so we thought, well, a school, gymnasium would be good, to rent a gymnasium. Other churches have started in school gymnasiums. And so we looked around, asked, well, what would be the best one to start? And they said, well, Brighton Public School. It's a new school. It was right up near some relatives of ours that lived up in Waterloo. So I thought, oh, okay, we'll try there. We went. They said, no, it's already booked. Another church has it. So we went and looked and called and talked to different principals and the school board, trying to find a school we could meet in. It just seemed like every door was closed. We were trying to move on a certain weekend some furniture. We couldn't find a moving van, and it was just, you know, it was frustrating. Every place we turned, it was like, no, no, no. So finally we just stopped and we prayed and we said, Lord, you're going to have to make a way for us. We don't understand. And I felt this impression just say, start all over again. And now that was a step of faith, because I was going to phone the principal of Brighton Public School that had already told me there was another church there. And this is like a few weeks later, because it was over a period of time. And I called again. I said, I'm just checking back in. And they said, you know what? The church that was meeting here, they have another place to meet, and it's available for you. And I remember the sense that we had, you know, the Lord's in this. And he made a way for us, a place for us to meet. And if you want to bring that first picture up of Brighton Public School, there it is. And I remember driving up there first service was June 3rd, 1973, 42 years ago. If you want to show the next picture, this was some of the folks that were meeting there. You see that handsome young guy on the left, and that beautiful lady beside him, and she was carrying a little baby. His name was Ben. And so this was some of the people that were there. If you just want to go to the next picture, this was going into Brighton Public School. And Kay and I, as we were carrying stuff in for some of the first services that we had there. Actually, I think that's the same suit I have on now. If I look at that, I think that is. Some of you are laughing. Kay wouldn't be laughing. She'd say, yeah, you probably still have it in your closet. But anyway, I guarantee you Kay does not have that outfit. Anyway, the next picture, this is one of the first meetings that we had there in the school auditorium, different ones gathering at that time. And if you take note of the doorway at the back, see a man with a tie on, and you see a young lad beside him. I think you know him, and you're going to hear in a moment. Go to the next slide. This was one of the first times. This is from the right-hand side, well, from the left, might as well go there, is Violet Smith, who is my sister, Kay in the middle, and Carl Smith on the right-hand side. No, Carl and Vi are Larry's mom and dad. And they came over from Brantford in the first year or two and helped us. They were musical, they were prayer, and they really supported us as we started the church. And they used to sing as a trio. And in fact, we got quite famous in our own eyes. We were invited to go to a few churches, and they sang. We went down to New Brunswick, and I preached, and they sang, and it was a great time. And then as we go forward, this is Carl and Vi, Larry's mom and dad. The tall lad at the back is Danny, and then in between the two heads, you see a little face there? That's Larry. And Larry was here from the very beginning, as we started the church, 7 years old, and was here from the very beginning that the church started. And I'm going to ask Larry to come up, because we're talking about lives being changed and how those early years affected Larry.
Good morning.
Well,
oh, okay. Okay, I didn't want to move there for a minute. I wasn't moving. I'll just say that when I was a young boy, I can remember when the church started, and we used to come here, and I was just young, and I thought, you know, like, all week I had to go to school, and I hated school, and then what did we do on Sundays? I had to go back to school. And that's where we first had our first meetings. And you know, I have fond memories as a child of coming here, being a part of the church plant, my mom and dad singing with Aunt Kay and different ones, and Pastor Ken preaching. And you know, I'd be playing underneath the pews or the chairs, whatever we had, with my little cars, and you know, fall asleep. You know, probably like, no, I won't say that.
Just like some of you.
He doesn't put us to sleep. He's great. I can remember the tent meetings. We went and had tent meetings at Binghamton, and my grandparents took their trailer, and we stayed there for the week. And, you know, like, a lot of great memories. It's a pleasure to actually be here. You know, it's an honor. I never thought I would come back here because we ended up moving away. But you know, they're investing in lives. And even from the very beginning, like after my parents died, I was cleaning out the house and I found my Bible that was given to me. And it says, and you can look at it, 1973, November the 4th, by Sister Kay Miles. Her first investment, the kids ministry's first investment, was the word of the Lord into my life. And, you know, I kept that for years and learned a lot of things, you know, in church. And then I have this Bible that Pastor Ken gave me when I went to Bible college in 1985, and I still have that today. So the word is important. What we invest does change lives, and it sticks with you from the time you're just young. And, you know, I think back of the people that invested here. You know, they didn't just invest their finances, they did, but they invested their time, their faithfulness. You know, coming every week when there's only a handful of people. You know, it's probably sometimes discouraging in some sense. And even from a pastor's point to start, and you know, I know that it did grow in time, but you know, to preach to the same people without seeing growth. But you know, as you plant the seeds, it grows. And that's why we're here today, is because of the people that were faithful in their time, in their giving, in their commitment. You know, even in prayer, you know, yes. My mom's Bible, I have it, and I was leafing through it when I was cleaning the house out, and in the center was an old card from KW Christian Fellowship, and my mom was a prayer warrior, and she prayed every day for this church. She prayed for the leadership. She prayed for the people. She prayed for the future of this place, and I know my grandmother did too, and you know, we are reaping the benefits, you know, that people that have now gone on, you know, John Zifku's mom and dad was the same way. They prayed for this church. You know, they influenced in this church. And we're here because of them. Right. And it's great when there's an investment. I like to just read a scripture. It says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe the people, there are a few that are still here, and the people that have gone on, they press toward the mark. Just like we need to continue to press toward the mark. Pastor Ken. Oh, I'd like to say too, when I was a kid, I have to always leave this little dig in. John Zifku is old. Because when I was a little kid, he looked so old. And I was just like a little kid. Now I look at him and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, when you're this high and you see a guy that's 16, you think, wow, he's a big guy. Anyhow, John.
We were cleaning out the closet over there because of the renovations we're going through for this project. And they called me over and said, look what we found. And it was the old ledger from the treasurer from the very beginning. And the first page is June 1973. So we have recorded the first monies that were invested in this church from the very beginning. I go down through these names. J.D. Tolman, that's the family that was here at the beginning. They're now missionaries in Mexico. And Sister Tolman has passed away. Of course, we knew her as Sister Tolman in those days. Elizabeth passed away, but David's still going strong, 80-some years old, that took his sons, and we'll tell you a little bit more about his sons in a moment. And down through the list, I see people, and I see the amounts that were given, $26, $13, $10. You know, people giving in those days what they gave. And then on through, you see the investments that people made so that lives could be changed. And we saw lives changed. 1 year into our time as a church, 1974, we thought we are going to do a tent crusade at Binghamton Park. We're going to pitch a tent. And we looked around, and if you want to bring the next pictures up, there was a tent that we found. It sat 1,000 people, and we had a handful, but we advertised that we were going to have tent services out there. And some people told me at the time, they said, oh, Jonas Binghamton will never let you pitch a tent out there on his property. And so I went to see Jonas. Some of you may be old enough, you know Jonas. He's passed away now, but he was a big fella. I still remember going to his office. He was sitting in his big chair, leaning back. And I was a young guy, and I was telling him that we wanted to have this tent. We're going to pitch it. We're going to have singers. We're going to do preaching, bring lots of people to his property. Some will be camping there. And so he agreed that we could have the tent. And so we put the tent up there, and it was such a blessing. And I remember raising funds. I remember, it's funny, it just rolls back over you. I look down at John. I remember as we're pitching that tent, John's dad was helping us, and he said, we need something to eat. And had sent someone out to get some Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I still remember, you know, and I think John's dad paid for it. And said, we'll get Kentucky Fried Chicken for everybody that's pitching the tent. And so, again, it was people investing. But during that 2 weeks, we saw people's lives changed. At that time, Larry's brother was baptized in the pond there at Binghamton Park. And my other nephew, Mark, was baptized that day. And then we had a number of people that gave their hearts to the Lord. We baptized a number of ladies out there in the pond in front of Binghamton Park. 2 weeks. But it was a struggle. I remember we were getting into it. We needed monies, and we had tried to raise the money. See, we had to pay Binghamton's for this because Jonas was a businessman, and we paid him $1,000 in 1974 to pitch that tent there for 2 weeks. And it seems like a lot of money. It was a lot of money then. But again, we invested to see lives changed. And what seemed like a venture that, oh, you're too small to do that. Oh, you can't do that. But it raised the profile of our church in those days. And we had people come. And we began to be known just simply because we had advertisements in the paper. And there was a tent up at Binghamton's Park. And we were having services every night. And so, again, we see how God uses things to change lives. We were in the school auditorium for for about a year, a little over a year. And then, because of unions and having to pay the janitor double time because it was Sunday and you had to have so many hours, and it just got that we couldn't afford to be in the school. And I think it was John's dad who said, I think there's a church we could meet, and we could meet there Sunday afternoons or evenings. And so we started meeting in the Romanian church that was on Madison Avenue. We met there for a period of time. And while we were there, we baptized one of the sons of the Tolman family, Stephen. And I still remember he was a little guy, and we baptized him. Today, he's in Mexico with his parents and with his brother, leading multiple churches as God led them to move from us. And we've supported them down in Mexico as a church because of their starting and helping us here. And I think every time I think about Stephen, I think of that church and I think about baptizing him as a young lad, not realizing we're investing in his life for the future and what God had for him. We can't get into all the details, but it turned out we couldn't meet. We had to leave sort of at short notice out of the Romanian church, and we didn't have any place to go. And so the Tolman family said, why don't you meet in our rec room for a period of time? And so we did. We moved then to the rec room of the Tolman family. They lived on 75 Penrose Avenue, still remember, telling people how to find our service. And so we met there in the rec room of their house, and we were still looking for a place to meet more permanent. But I remember something that happened in that church, in that house. One night, one of the ladies who were baptized at Bingham Park when we had the tent, she had a daughter, 12-year-old daughter, and that daughter brought a friend of hers that she went to school with to the service. And in that service, as I gave an invitation, her friend, this 12-year-old girl, gave her heart to the Lord, responded. I still remember her crying and giving her heart to God. And after we got talking to her and asked if her parents went to church, and she said, no, they don't go to church. And then she said, we're moving. We're moving in just a week or two. We're going to Colorado. In those days, they were given, good deal on land. They wanted people to move to Colorado and start cities and suburbs of cities. So you that were old enough, remember getting those things in the mail. Move to Colorado, and you get this lot and house and so forth. Anyway, they moved out there. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's too bad. You know, this girl just gave her heart to the Lord. Now she's moving away. She has no support in her family. I wonder how long it will last. And I remember sort of feeling like an emptiness, a sadness, that they weren't here. We couldn't support them. We couldn't encourage them. And I'd pray for them every now and then when it came to my mind. Not often, but when it would come to my mind, I would pray for her. It was about 6 years later. Kay and I were in the Stone Crock up in Elmira, and we were just leaving the restaurant, and I heard this young lady say to me, Pastor Ken, Pastor Ken. I turned around, and I looked at this 18-year-old girl, and I didn't know her age at the time. I couldn't just say 18, but I found she was 18. And she said, you don't remember me. I said, no, I don't know. She said, you know, you were having meetings in a house, and I came as Carla's friend, and I was like, she's the young lady that gave her heart to the Lord. And I said, well, what happened? She said, we just moved back to Waterloo. They were living up north in Waterloo, well, actually, Elmira area. She said, we just started a church. I said, you're attending church? She said, yeah. She said, when we went to Colorado, my family started going to church. She said, I encouraged them. We go to church, went to church. They got saved. She said, we were there for 6 years. We've moved back. And she said, I just wanted to say thank you and tell you that we're serving God and God has done great things in our life. And I tell you, I just thought, God is so good. He's bigger than what we think. He's bigger than what we think. We got to follow up. We got to do. That's what gives me really excitement. 55 kids giving their heart to the Lord this week. God saw every heart. He saw everyone, every prayer. I was 8 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I just know those were powerful conversions. We can say, oh, 55 kids. 55 lives were given to the Lord. God's Spirit begins to work in their life. He's watching them, guiding them, directing them. If they have their heart soft, He's going to fulfill. See, we invested. We invested. The people that were in VBS invested time and energy, not just money, but their vacation week to come here. But they were sowing, investing in lives, and it brings results. Then we moved to a church, Pilgrim Lutheran Church on Duke Street, downtown. And while we were there, we met Sunday afternoons there. Another church at that time that was meeting in the city disbanded, And a number of those folks started to come and meet with us. And so it really increased our numbers for a short period of time. But the thing is, we were sort of like a stopgap for them. They needed a place to go to church, but and a lot of times over the following months, they would start drifting off and going to different churches, and there was sort of this feeling like, you know, why is everybody leaving? And I would hear things like, what's wrong with KWCF? Everybody's leaving. And we had a lot of people leave, 7 or 8 families in one short period of time, some because they were university students and they graduated, we married, they moved off to get jobs. You know, there were a few like that, but a lot of them were just leaving because they didn't feel like they fit with us and they were finding another place to worship. And I had this feeling like, man, it's like the church is sick and everybody's down. And we used to celebrate as people were going. You know, well, here, this is the last Sunday for so-and-so. I said to them after a while, I'm not celebrating anybody leaving anymore. If they leave, they just leave, but we're not having any celebration. It was just too hard on us to see people leaving. And I had the fence like, no, don't people feel or care about our church? I felt like we needed, you know, that people would have a commitment to our church. And then I began to wonder, well, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe it's time for me to move on. I had invitations to go and pastor other churches, and I thought, well, maybe that's what the Lord is. There's a transition here. And so I was praying about it this one night and just really feeling heavy and saying, God, I need to hear from you. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, and the first thought in my mind as I opened my eyes was this. It was a definite sentence. It wasn't verbal. But it was so strong, I know the exact words. And this is what, and I know it was the Lord. He said, take note of the verses that Mary Goddard is going to use this morning. Well, Mary Goddard was an older lady that had a 15-minute program on television. And she was on early every morning. On the television, she was an older lady. She was sort of old school. She had a big bun on, you know, that she wore her hair up. And it wasn't something like I would, you know, be drawn towards or excited to listen to. I wasn't opposed to her, but it wasn't like something I would be thinking about. And I knew I would never think this thought in a million years. And the Lord said, take note of the verses she's going to use this morning. Well, I just knew in my heart, you know, God is going to use those verses to answer the questions that I had. And so I'm listening to her. She's not using any verses. She's going on and on towards the end of the program. She didn't even read them, but she referred to Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 17 to 22. And this, I grabbed the closest Bible to me. It was an NIV version, and this is what it said. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast, Zion for whom no one cares. And when I read that, I felt that's exactly how I feel about the church. I knew Zion in the scripture is symbolic of the church. And I felt, yeah, I feel like the church is sick and it needs to be healthy and we need to grow and it seems like no one's caring about the church. And then it went on. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents, have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Now, I never thought about the church being a palace, but as soon as I read it, I realized it was referring to the church building, the place where the king is. And in that time, we had been looking at properties, but people were leaving, and we were looking at a church building up in Waterloo, and they wanted so much money. And I remember sitting in the parking lot praying, saying, oh, God, could you give us this building? It would be nice to be meeting, have our own building. But it was so much money. And then one of the fellows in the church heard about this property out here there, you know, that was for rent. The government owned this property out here. And so we were wrestling with a number of things. And then I remember reading that, and it said, the palace will stand in its proper place. And it just, you know, I'm not doing an exegesis of these scriptures, but I'm just telling you how it spoke to me as I read it. And I thought, you know, Lord, you know all about where we need to be, where the church building's going to be. It's going to stand in its proper place. And so I just had a piece. I kept reading. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers. They will not be decreased. I will bring them honor and they will not be disdained. You know, from that moment on, there was a turn, and I don't think ever have we had a decline like sustained. Like, you have your ups and downs always in churches, but it's always been a steady increase from that time forward to now, where we saw our numbers increasing as people came to the Lord and were saved. Songs of rejoicing, celebrating it today, as John and the worship team led us in praise and worship. Then it went on and said, their children will be as days of old. Their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. Now, when I read that, I felt the Lord say to me, I placed you there. You're in that place. You don't have to look for a leader coming in from outside. And it just, you know, that portion of Scripture answered all the questions that were just spinning in my mind about, should I move on? Is it time for Kay and I and our family to leave? And I felt, no, the Lord's saying, you be right here. And then this challenge I felt to me, I will bring him near. He will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. I remember reading that saying, Lord, help me to dedicate myself to draw close to you. I'm not sure I've done that totally to the best of my ability, but that has been my heart. I want to draw close to the Lord. I want to do what the Lord wants. Don't want it to be for me. And then it finished by saying, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. I tell you, I closed that Bible, and there was just a lightness in my heart. And I thought, God, you answered in such a remarkable way using the verses that Mary Goddard referred to this morning and answered all the questions that I had. See, I couldn't, I would never tell someone that's how God will answer your question because he's unique. He does it in any, you know, so many ways. But that's how he answered my questions. And it was a peace in my heart. And we, right after that, the door closed up there, and we found that we could rent this old building out here for $40 a month. Here's what it looked like 42 years ago, not quite that long ago. That was the building, this garage that's sitting out here across the way. It was used by a car club. Those doors opened, and they drove cars in and serviced them, and there was grease on the floor. It was just dirty. We scraped with shovels the grease off the floor, threw gallons of turpentine on the floor to get the smell out of the oil. We started renovating. We did it on Saturdays. We came, church from Allure Road, the church I just went to, that I said it was there on Sunday. They sent a crew every Saturday, came over and helped us get this church started. You can go to the next one. There I am with the bell-bottom pants on. Just go back to that picture for a moment. And that's Ben, my oldest son. He was working out there, investing in, and that's the, this is before this auditorium is built, but you can recognize that's the poultry processing plant that's out here that we rented from them. And so you can just keep rolling those pictures. And this is some of the folks from Allure Road that came over and helped. And just keep rolling the pictures. And this is another, we were working out the back and pouring the concrete beginning. And so just keep turning this. And this is what we ended at the end of numbers of months. And we were so proud. I mean, it didn't belong to us, but we had changed it from that to this. And we could move in, and we could have meetings whenever we wanted. We didn't have to carry everything out. We could meet during the week. We could meet any times. We were just felt so excited as we began to meet there. But we had to renovate this building, and we were a handful of people, and we needed $40,000. I remember asking people, you know, who will donate to help us? And it was like always a stretch. It was like always more than we could do. And part of me was like, I don't know whether I should ask. But I thought, in the scene, here's the beautiful thing. You got to get out of the devil's thinking and into godly thinking. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Satan constantly tells us it's better to receive. It's better to give less. And whenever an opportunity comes to give, that's not hurting the church. That's blessing the church. Because when we have an opportunity to give, God will give back to us. And I remember meetings as we were finishing this building and needed to get the occupancy permit. We needed door closers on the doors to meet the fire code. And we needed two door closers. It had one on the front, and there was one going into the back kitchen area that we put on. And I remember they were $40 each in those days, and they were expensive. And I'm saying, okay, now, who will give towards the door closers? And we raised the money to buy the door closers so we could move into this building. But you know, once we did, God began to work in our lives. And just go to the next picture. And this is one of the services in that building. And you can see I'm leading the worship. Just over my right hand is Kay. And then there's others. And you can see on the tips of my fingers of my right hand, a young man there by the name of John Zifku. And John was here right from the beginning months and helped to renovate that building as we work. So I'm going to ask John if he'll come up. Tell us a little bit how the church changed his life in those years.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. A lot of stories that I remember being here almost 40 years myself. You know, I came here as a result of my parents bringing me here. I was just a teenager. I grew up in a Christian home, but I came here and back in 1973. And I started listening to messages that Pastor Ken shared, messages about God's love, God's forgiveness, how he wants his spirit to lead our lives, messages that we need to accept the Lord as our Savior. And you know, I made my own personal decision as a teenager to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. A year after that, I was water baptized by Pastor Ken. And a year after that, my wife started attending here. And she wasn't my wife at that time. She just came as a young lady. Pastor Ken had married us. Our kids, we had a few kids, Rebecca, Sophie, and Jonathan. They all grew up in this church, served in this church. Oh, Elena and I served in this church. Our granddaughter is, our grandkids are here, sir, just starting in this church. Our daughter-in-law, Courtney, is in this church, so for us, it's about the effect it's had on our whole family and the blessing that this church has been to us. We've met so many people here, seen so much of what God has done, and we really appreciate this church. It's really benefited our lives in a great way. And I just want to thank Pastor Ken and Kay for their faithfulness. Serving here all these years, all the work they've put in, we really appreciate them. And so I encourage you just to continue with this work here, Lord. I thank you for this time.
Thank you, John. Another family that started to come as we were renovating this building was Paul and Betty Brazeau. And Paul and Betty couldn't be here today. They were away. But when I asked Paul, he said, you know what? He said, I would love to do a video. He said, I can't be there on Sunday. And so we did a video. And so I want just to play what Paul's memories are of those years.
you talk about a changed life, I can tell you a whole lot about that. After years of abusing myself with prescription drugs and alcohol, I found the Lord. And after finding the Lord, I had no place to go, and I ended up coming out here to KW Christian Fellowship. And at that time, we were renting in a building downtown in Kitchener, and then I heard talk of them coming out here to Bleams Road, which was countryside back then. And we were going to build a church out of a building that was an old garage, and they were going to invest $40,000 in something they never owned. And, you know, I came out nonetheless, and I started working here helping them build. And I was just amazed at what I saw. This building was an old garage. It was filled with dirt and filth and grease and you name it, and it was there. And we started cleaning it out and rebuilding it. And we ended up eventually getting the land and the building. But talking about changed lives, I look back at it now and I see that my life was like that old building. It was full of dirt and filth, and the Lord cleaned my life up. He took away all the crap that I had done in my life and changed me to what I am today. I was the first person actually baptized in this building, so I guess I hold that distinction, and I'm quite proud of that. So, yeah, that's me, and I can also tell you about when we were trying to raise money to buy this building, we didn't have the money, and I made a pledge of $1,000, which I never had. Back then, times were tight, and I never had the money, and I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And it came right down to the last week when my pledge was due, and lo and behold, I was working at J.M. Schneider's at the time. I received a check for $1,000 from a suggestion that I had put in. I mean, talk about a miracle. You know, the Lord came through for me, and I am a changed life because of this. Thank you.
Well, that's just a taste of the lives that have been changed, and we're going to stop in the history of that. Next week, we'll go on and talk about the present. We'll talk about how we got this property, how we built this building. I was talking to someone after the second service when they were just saying, it's just remarkable how the God moved. And I said, you need to come next week. That was just a starter for the miracles we saw happen as we moved into this building. See, I know God has put his hand on this church, and he's adding to our numbers just as sure as the Lord said. He has a plan and a purpose for us. And that plan and purpose is to see lives changed. See people come to salvation. Seeing their lives turned around. Getting free from addictions. And strengthening marriages. And seeing families raised in a solid atmosphere. God has his hand on this church. Now we come to the end of this service. I want to ask you to invest in the future. We'll talk about the future in 3 weeks in more details. But we believe God is moment by moment, just year by year, as I said earlier, just supplying the funds as we go. People that you don't know paid for these pews and for this building. We're expanding, and there are people that are going whose lives are going to be changed that we don't even know yet. But because we're investing finances, but also time, prayer, ministry gifts, we're investing it together to see lives changed. And so I want to just put a few pictures up so you can sort of see where we're at. We have, and these are fresh. We just got these this past week. This is just a floor plan of the foyer, and this is a conceptual picture of what. Just leave it there. There's windows. No, put it back to the. Those windows are facing out on these back houses, and there's a peaked roof going out that way, and there's windows that wrap all the way around. And so it's going to be a big foyer. And then you can go to the next picture. There's a cafe that sits back in the corner, and there'll be tables and areas where we can meet. And that's just the upstairs area. And then there's a lot I can share with you, but we will share this weeks to come. But just so you know, we were thinking of doing this in three phases. Do this renovation, build half the auditorium, and then build the other half of a new auditorium. But we feel because we're expanding this auditorium, because as we got looking at this, we've realized that wall can move back because we don't need that foyer. We have a brand new foyer. That wall moves back. That adds a number of seats in the back. So we're going to be increasing the size of this auditorium considerably. Then we know these carpets are 25 years old, and so it needs to be refurbished, painted again, that wall moving back, ceilings have to be redone in here. And so we realize to do that, it's going to take money to do this. And then we realize the washrooms are downstairs, and that's going to be the children's area, and that's to be separated from the adult area. So then we realize we need washrooms on this upper level. And so moving down this hallway is going to be all renovated, and we've already moved the electricity out so we can knock walls out there. And there'll be a new women's washroom put in down here, and there'll be the present washrooms down there will be changed, walls knocked out, and be turned into a men's washroom. So there'll be a whole new women's and men's washroom down that hall so that when you come on the property, it won't look like there's a little add-on to an existing building. This property will look like a brand new building, but we have to renovate as we go and we do this. Now, the cost, as we look at all of this, is coming in at somewhere, when we consider everything, the landscaping outside, re-asphalting this driveway because it had was gotten all torn up, the new road put out down to Thistledown, as you can see, we had the land movers had to come in and reshape that 2 acres. All of this cost money. And so it looking at it, it's going to be about $1 million. About $1 million to do this project. We have had a little over $650,000 come in through the pledges that people made over. We started in 2011. Many of you made pledges, and some of you are fulfilled those pledges. Others of you are still in the process of fulfilling those. And others of you are newer to the church, and you never had an opportunity to give towards the building fund. And so we realize as we put all the numbers together, right now in the building fund, Pat told me this week, $513,000. That's what we have left because we've already paid for a lot of things. But right up to date, we have $513,000. And we realize we probably need another $400,000 to do this right. And our goal, our desire, our prayer to the glory of God is to move into this new renovation debt-free. That we don't owe any money, that we're not paying money to interest, that we're using the monies that come in for ministry to change lives. We're not putting money away. And, you know, a lot of churches can't do that. But I tell you, I believe God's got his hand upon us. And Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, who opened up China to the world, and known as one of the greatest missionaries that's ever been. He had a statement, and I printed it. It was in my office as we've been doing different renovations here. He said, any great move of God goes through three phases, three stages. The first stage is, it's impossible. See, if you think you can do it, then it's probably not big enough. It's impossible. The second stage is difficult. And over the years, as we made pledges, and we have just been as we've made our pledges, you know, it's not, you know, you have to sacrifice and you deny yourself of some things because you're putting God's work first. And it's difficult. That's what he said. The second stage is difficult. First stage is impossible. Second stage is difficult. And he said, and then you get to the third stage. It's done. And folks, I can't tell you whether it was moving out here to raise $40,000. It seemed impossible. And then it was difficult. Then it was done. And then, well, you know, we went over stage after stage. We'll share some of it next week, how we moved. And every stage we went into, it was like, oh, that's impossible. In fact, I even had people say to me, that's impossible. That's impossible. Well, it is. That's the first stage. But then we launched in. Then it was difficult. And now it's done. And I just have that same faith. You know, but the devil lies to me. You know, even getting, I have to tell you, getting up this morning, the thought came through my mind. You think you're going to raise $400,000 in 6 months? That's impossible. And he almost got me. don't even think about asking the congregation for this. That's too far. That's impossible. And then I remembered back of the goodness of God and how every stage has been impossible. Then it's been difficult, but then it's done. And I believe we're going to see this finished project. We're going to see a facility here that's to the honor and glory of God. And we're going to invest so that lives can be changed and people can come in and we can see the kingdom of God grow. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe I'm doing no disservice to ask people to give, because God blesses those that give. And it's better to give. And I encourage myself in the Lord. And we had a great first service. People responded very well. And I know that God is going to move in this service. Because here's what we're going to do. We're thinking, how can we do this? How do we lay this out? And when this is what we came, and you bring it to that last slide. We sat down and we just saw, okay, could we raise $400,000? And then we saw, well, if 10 people gave $10,000, that would be $100,000. 15 people gave $5,000, that would be another $75,000. 25 people gave $3,000. 30 gave $2,000. 40 gave $1,000. You know, and then if 100 people gave $500, we would have the full $400,000. Now, will it happen just like this? Probably not, because God always doesn't just work the way we think. But we can establish our way. God directs our steps. And this is just a way we say, Lord, we believe there's 220 people, whether it be husbands and wives, whether it's teenagers that can pledge a certain amount, that you would give this amount of money over the next 5 or 6 months as we finish this project. And we believe that we can save some money. We believe, and we're stretching every dollar we get. It's just a simple illustration of this. In the budget of that full money was $10,000 for the project to rent a skid steer. Some of you know what that is. It's like a tractor. And it was $10,000. But Larry was driving down the road. He saw this implement place, went in, started talking to the guy, related to him a little bit, told him about the project, back and forth. And finally he said, I'll tell you what I'll do, $5,000 for the project. So it saved us $5,000. I believe we're going to see that over and over again. I see, and as we donate our time and effort and working, and I just believe God's going to give us favor with trades. And so we believe we're going to save some money. But still, I don't know how this money will come. It may not come that way. It might be that someone else from outside God moves upon to give to our congregation. It's all in God's hands. But I do know we have to do what we can do. It's like the little boy that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he could have said, that's my lunch. That's for me. But he brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and it fed the whole multitude. It did a miracle. And I believe whether it comes out just like this, it doesn't matter. But I believe that if we do what we can do and what you're feeling to do, that God will bless it and multiply it. And I want to just read some verses in that relates to this. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can spend our money on a lot of things. Reminds me of the statement. Someone shared this statement with me this week. It was on a poster of an old guy, and this is what it said. I spent all my money on whiskey and women, and the rest I just wasted. Spent all my money on whiskey and women, and the rest I just wasted. You know, we have our own version of that. You know, we spend our money on our house and on our vacation and on this and on that, and then the rest I just wasted. And we don't realize if we need to put the Lord first. And we need to lay up treasures in heaven. And there's a dividend that comes back when we lay our treasures up in heaven. And then one more verse, Luke 18:29. Jesus said to them, "Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents, or brothers, or wife, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time, and in the age to come, eternal life." I've proved this over and over in my life. My dad told me when I was a little boy, you can't outgive God. And I've just found when I pledge and I give, and I've never asked the church to do something that I haven't personally done and tried to take the lead in it. And I've just found I can't outgive God. I think I'm really hurting myself. I am really suffering here. The Lord, see what I'm doing. And then he just turns around and blesses me back. And the Bible says many times more in this world, and that's not even counting about the reward that's laid up in heaven. And so I just encourage you to think about what you're wanting to pledge, that you'll say, above my normal giving, I will put this amount of money into the building fund over the next 5 or 6 months as this project finishes out. I'm going to ask the elders that they would come forward. What we did was made up some envelopes. And this envelope says $10,000. This one says $5,000. This one says $3,000, you know, $2,000, so forth, envelopes. And what we want to do today is want you to prayerfully consider what you feel the Lord's laying on your heart to give. And then we want to give you an envelope that you can just take it home and that you'll just, over the next 5 or 6 months, it has to go in this envelope, but we want to give you an envelope. Or you can put it in this envelope. Some of you can do it right away. Others of you, it'll be a step of faith, and you're believing the Lord for it. But that you, this is your heart. Some of you have made pledges. You know, I've made a pledge, and I fulfilled that pledge, but I'm feeling the Lord wants me to go the second mile and to give, and so I'm going to pledge again. And many of you have done that as well. Others of you, you're still in the process of the first pledge. Well, that's, you know, if all the monies came in from our pledges, we'd have the $400,000. But, you know, realistically, we see a lot of people have moved. There's things that happen. And so we, you know, so this is what we're believing the Lord for. If we raise $400,000, I believe we can finish this project debt-free with everything else that's happening. So I want you right now, at the close of this service, just to bow your head and shut your eyes. And no one looking around. I want you just to pray now. And say, Lord, what do you want me to give? I don't want you to feel any, I don't want anyone here to feel pressure from me or from the church leadership that I sort of feel pressured or obligated. I want to free you from that. No one has to do anything more than what they want to do. And so, you know, it's just a matter of what is God saying to you? And as much or as little as God says to you, that's all you need to do. and just rest in that and just know that if we all do our part, if everybody does something, we're bringing the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, then we're just believing that God's going to do the rest. And I have confidence because I've been here 42 years and in different ways the same appeal's been made and people have invested to change lives and we've seen lives changed. So it's just between you and the Lord and no one looking around and just ask the Lord what you feel he wants you to give. Now, if you just keep your eyes closed and, again, no one looking around, because this is just between people and the Lord, I'm just going to ask you, as I did in the first service, those that want to take a $10,000 envelope, and if you just feel in your heart that this is what God's laid on your heart, if you just raise your hand high and our elders will just give you an envelope, thank you for that. There may be others that you just say, I just feel I'll give $10,000. I just believe in the Lord's laid that on my heart. That's what I'm to give. Just wait a moment. If anyone, just raise your hand up high. We're believing there's going to be 10 people. Now, we're going to do this next week and the week after. And, you know, some may feel like they want to talk to their spouse, and that's fine. Or you want to pray more about this, that's fine too. But today we just want to get started. And we've just seen several $10,000 envelopes go out as a result. And God's going to bless you back. All right, let's move to the $5,000. If you feel like the Lord's laying your heart, I'll give $5,000 over the next 5 to 6 months. Just raise your hand right up. Just hold it up high so we can just believe it. And boy, I just bless every envelope that's going out, that God will just multiply it and just bless back into your life exactly what you need. All right, let's move to 3,000. Who would feel like they can give 3,000? Just put your hand up high if you can give $3,000 over the next 4 or 5 months. Need 30 or 25 people to give $3,000. Amen. And then 2,000. We have $2,000 envelopes. See some hands here. Just give out. You just believe you can give $2,000 over the next number of months. Thank the Lord. Lord, bless each and every person. Multiply this back to them in Jesus' name. Show yourself to be real in people's lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Then we need 40 people to give $1,000. You feel I can give $1,000. We're just going to give you an envelope. We just bless you and say, God, work in these lives. Move in these lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. We need 40 people that will give $1,000. Just see a hand at the back there. Amen. This hand's here. Amen. Once you've received your envelope, you just put your hand down. Okay. Now we need 100 people that will give $500. That's just $100 a month over the next. If you feel that way, just put your hand right up. Just hold your hand up. We give you, there's some hands back here. You'll give $500 over these next months. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about sowing seed in the ground, and there's different kinds of ground. And then the good ground soil, it brought 30, 60, and 100-fold. I just want you to know this is good ground to sow in. We've been here 42 years, and the Lord has used this ministry to change lives. Amen. Open your eyes. Stand with me this morning. And let's give the Lord a round of applause for what he's doing in our life, in our ministry here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let me pray for us all. Father, I thank you for these moments where we can get very real and very practical, and where, Lord, we are investing our funds. We're investing our money. And we also, Lord, are investing our lives and our talents and our prayer into this ministry that you have raised up. I thank you for the faithfulness that you've given us over 42 years. I thank you, Lord, for every life that has been touched and changed and influenced for your honor and glory. And I ask, O Lord, that now as we have made a start, and we're just bringing our 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Lord, and we're bringing them to you, every pledge that's been made, I ask, Lord, that you would multiply it. Multiply it to meet the total need. I pray for a miracle in every life. I pray for testimonies to come out of this, where people made a commitment to you, and how, Lord, you blessed them back in this world and in the world to come. So, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus for your honor and glory to sustain this church and everything that we're doing. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and may we go forward in the things that you have given us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Go in the name of the Lord. If anyone would like prayer, come on up. We'd be happy to pray with you today.